In the name of the Father, and of His Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, we are exhorted in today's epistle by the first pope to set a good example. And I would like to speak to you today about the power of example, of how much good it does. And I suppose we could make an observation here that we are constantly, and I mean constantly, giving an example, whether we like it or not, whether we realize it or not. We are showing a way of doing something for good or for ill. And it's more powerful than you realize. Right now, I'm not the only one giving a sermon. At this very moment, every one of you, by the way you're comporting yourselves in church, is giving an example. I remember recently someone told me, I think it was just in the last day or two, about how a visitor came and noticed how the children were well behaved in church. Again, they probably weren't thinking about it, but the effect is still there. So you may not want to worry about giving an example, but tough luck, you are. By the mere fact that you are visible, you're giving an example for good or for ill. I suppose some would argue that some of the things we do are indifferent, that they don't matter, that they're neither good nor bad. But I think in the final analysis, it is good, it is for good, or it is for something not good. So, example goes a long way. And an astounding quote, and I will admit I haven't been able to verify this, but this is from St. John Chrysostom. It was quoted in another source, but I like to always find original sources, so it's not just a misstatement or hearsay or an inaccurate retelling. This is St. John Chrysostom. There would be no need for sermons if our lives were shining. There would be no need for words if we bore witness with our deeds. There would be no more pagans if we were true Christians. So St. John believed very much in the power of example. He went so far as to say we wouldn't need any verbal sermons if enough Christians lived in a way as to give that example in their daily lives. So you see, it is very powerful. There are many examples that you've probably heard or that could be recounted of people whose lives were changed because they saw somebody doing something. I don't know if this story is true or not, but it gets across a point that a priest got on the bus one day. This is where they're taking the bus fare by coin. And after he sat down, the priest realized that he got an extra quarterback. And what's a quarter? Isn't that the thought that most people would keep in mind, or would occur to them? What's a quarter? I came out a quarter ahead. And the priest, of course, did the right thing, and he returned the quarter to the bus driver. He said, "You gave me one extra quarter back." And the bus driver said, Thank you, Father. I gave you an extra quarter deliberately because I wanted to see what you would do. I've been thinking about going to church, and now I'm going to start coming to church. All over one quarter. So just be aware of how powerful your example is. About 15 years ago, I was asked to come to Portland, Oregon for giving last rites to somebody who was in danger of dying. And then on the way back, I hadn't even left Portland, but the car broke down. And so I somehow made my way to, or found a way to, or maybe there was a shop right there, and then I had to do some calling around. I had to figure out, you know, how to get another ride back to Spokane because it was going to take time. As a matter of fact, the car had to be, we arranged for it to be put on a flatbed truck and brought back to Spokane that way. But as I'm sitting in the repair shop, I see this sign on the wall. I'm sorry, I made it pretty small here, so I have to. Live so that those who know you and don't know God will want to know God because they know you. I thought that was a very powerful. I had to take a photo of that. And again, this is just a repair shop, an outer repair shop. Telling anybody that read that to live such a kind of life that even though they don't see God, they will want to serve God because they see you. So to put it in another way, a goal, make others want to know God because of how I live. What's the opposite of a good example? A bad example. And that word scandal comes from the word scandalum, and I believe it's also in the Greek, and it means obstacle or stumbling block. And that's what a bad example does. Again, whether we like it or not, we're giving an example. So what about a bad example? How bad is a bad example? How bad is it to give scandal? Well, what are the words of our Lord himself who talked about, you know, scandalizing a little one? He said, if one ever shows a child a scandal, in other words, shows them how to sin, it would be better for them to have a millstone tied around their neck and be cast into the sea than to scandalize one of these little ones. Now, our Lord is in no way advocating tying millstones around people's necks and drowning them. You can't do that. But he is using a very powerful, rhetorical device or figure of speech. He's saying it's that bad to show someone how to sin, especially a younger person. So, need we say anything more? So, again, our example is the way we dress, the way we speak, our actions, our reactions, just the way we conduct ourselves. And of course, giving a good example isn't about putting on an act. We have to be authentic. It has to obviously flow from the inside. But we can make choices about how we do things. And sometimes those little things can be so powerful in inspiring somebody to be better. So don't underestimate. That's what I think St. Peter is telling us today in today's extract from the epistle. Do not underestimate the power of good example. Literally, conversions will happen because of it. You could even think of good example as a ministry. You know, a way of doing good, a work of charity, to give good example in one's daily life. You know, as I mentioned earlier, it's the feast of our Mother of Good Counsel, and it's good to remember that this is associated with a continuous miracle. There's an image of Our Lady, a small image, in one of the churches in Rome that miraculously floated through the air, was carried by angels, however you want to put it, some centuries ago, and didn't attach itself to the wall, and it's still supposed to be hanging in the air. That's the image of our Mother of Good Counsel. That's how she is honored. So it's in the realm of the category of the shroud of our Lord or the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, continuously every second of its existence giving a miraculous witness to God, to our Blessed Mother. But in a sense, we can think of that picture, and really every picture or statue of Our Lady, isn't it a good example from our own Heavenly Mother? And of course, she's perfect in every way, not infinitely like God is, but you know, certainly our Blessed Mother is one of the most shining examples we could possibly think of and look to. So anyway, my dear brethren, do great good, and do that great good by your good example. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.